You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
I'm expecting good things, and you give me example A, Myles Garrett. Basically telling you, if we're not going to be good, I don't want to be a Cleveland Brown. I want to be here, but if we're not going to be good, I don't want to be here. Jake Volnick with you guys here on overtime up until 11 o'clock. Jax Gregory running the board. Anthony Alant going to be on your updates. You heard him there as well doing things behind the scene. I mean, we just got to open up to you right from the beginning. 216-474-0092. The Browns have found themselves in what is nothing short of a peculiar situation. We already knew this offseason was going to be, a mess? I think a mess would probably be a really good place to start and to call it. Like, it was going to be bad no matter what. We've been talking this week, we were talking last week, about what the best plan for the Browns is moving forward. And I think part of that probably changes now, just with everything that we've gotten today from Myles Garrett. I don't see how it doesn't. Things are now changing with how you have to address the offseason following Myles Garrett's comments. You have to look at this thing in a completely different light, right? We were going into this and it was essentially either you're clinging on to hope and thinking that this Browns team can turn it around with just finding a quarterback, whether that be through free agency or the draft, however they feel best fit to do so. Or you were going down the road of basically tear this whole thing down. Strip it down to the studs, build it right back up from the bottom. And I told you guys earlier in the week, that's probably the route that I saw most feasible for the Browns. Right? Like, you're not in this stellar situation where you have still an incredible roster who's up and coming. Like, no. This team is completely on the opposite of that. Right? You still feel like you have a pretty good roster with sizable holes. And on the back ends of their prime, right? Things are not trending up. If this Browns roster holds pat for the majority of these positions, they trend down. So I'm sitting here and I'm not on the try to flip it away 1 year. But I mean, if there's anything that could possibly get me to change that, it's something that Myles Garrett would say. And boy, did he talk today. Here's what he had to say during his talk with the media about whether or not he wants to be a Cleveland Brown.
I want to be a Cleveland Brown. I want to play here, want in my career here. But you know, if we choose to rebuild, and you know, it's 2, 3, 4 years out, you know, I want to be able to, you know, compete and play at a high level, play meaningful games, and be playing, you know, past January.
The end of that is what I find really interesting. Right, you want to be competitive, play meaningful games, and play past January. Okay, when I look at this team, I told you, maybe 6, 7, 8 wins. Maybe they slip into the playoffs. Like, guys, the reality of this is they're probably not going to be a team playing past January next season. That's the difficult pill to swallow with what Myles Garrett has to say. Like, either way that you look at it, and either road that you want to go down with this team, whether it's the one-year rebuild or strip it down, this is bad news. There is nothing here that's like, all right, well, that's what Myles wants and that's what we're striving for. No. This is bad news either way. It's not often we can all just come together and have the exact same take on this, but there's nothing good that comes out of this. There's nothing even neutral where you can just look back and, all right, well, he said it, but we're going to address it. It's going to be fine. This was our plan all along. No. Myles is telling you he does not want this to be a two-year rebuild. He doesn't want this to take any longer. He wants to be right now, in the heart of his prime, be competing in the playoffs and striving for a championship. When you look at the Browns, either road you go down, most likely not going to be the case. Even if this is a one-year rebuild, you're looking at a 6, 7, 8 win team. Like, the only way you're flipping that around is if you nail the quarterback position. And even then, I don't know how far that takes this team. I don't know how far that gets them just to have a good, not great quarterback, because realistically, that's what you're looking at. You're either bringing in a rookie, and I'm not talking about a guy probably at the top of the class, or you're going to bring in a reclamation project of a quarterback. I mean, keep spewing Kirk Cousins into the air for me, because that just doesn't do it. That does absolutely nothing for you. You're clinging on to a 37-year-old to turn the franchise back around. No. This thing is up in the air now. Either way you look at it, it is downright bad in the situation that you're in. I mean, listen, I'm coming into work today. I'm getting a text from our board op, Jax, basically telling me he's falling to his knees in a Walmart parking lot. Like, we're going down. Jax was smart enough today to stay off of Twitter up until he was about to come to work. Jax, that was probably not the most fun for you, no?
No, I opened my phone when I got in the car, opened up Twitter, and almost crashed out right then and there.
Like, you're just, it is the one thing going into the final three games where we're all already, I don't know if we're dreading the offseason, but we're dreading probably the result of the offseason and the result of the last three games. Like, this is about the only thing that could have made it worse. This and them announcing Deshaun Watson as the starting quarterback next season. Like, that could have been the two things that could have made this an absolute awful situation going into a Friday. Okay, like, it was quiet, no news. Let's talk about the Bengals game coming up. I mean, I was going to open the show with whether or not, you know, there's any consolation in the win. If you're able to take down the Bengals and knock them out of the playoffs, yeah, scrap that. That's out the window. No need to talk about that. I don't think anybody cares about what happened on Sunday right now, because we all have to have all eyes, all attention on how you address what you want to do with Myles Garrett. We were already in a situation where as soon as you hit the offseason, the urgence of needing to do something and figure everything out was already at your doorstep. I don't know how you push that any farther, but Myles Garrett has it pushed up against the doors, seeping through the openings. It just waiting. It's going to burst through the doors as the offseason opens on what you need to do, because now you're not only addressing what you want to do with this offseason, what you're going to do at the quarterback position, but hey, do we want to keep Myles Garrett around? And if so, how on earth are we going to do that? What are we going to bring to him and be able to sell to him that says, hey, I want to be in Cleveland? Because I'm being honest with you, though, the way that I look at it, there's not a whole lot there. What makes you think anybody that you're going to bring in is going to compete with a Joe Burrow, a Lamar Jackson, right? The Pittsburgh Steelers, for crying out loud, in the state that they're in, getting ready to win the AFC North in a year where most of us were projecting them to finish fourth in the division, and they're getting ready to win it. Things continue to go wrong for the Browns while things continue to go right for everyone else. And it's just another instance of that on a Friday. But now if you're the Browns, you have to make a decision. Myles has made you pick one way or the other, and his decision comes directly with it. You either need to go all out this offseason and do everything in your power. Forget about draft capital. Forget about anything else. You need to push your salary cap well over the max. Do everything in your power to bring this team back to stardom and do whatever it takes. Or say, hey, if that's going to be the case, we have to just tear this thing down. That's what it comes down to. You have to be able to do one or the other right now with the comments that Myles Garrett has made. I mean, this just paints how desperate and how bad the entire thing is. If Myles is saying that, you know the guy's fed up. How often do you get Myles Garrett coming to the podium or stepping in front of a microphone and telling you, I mean, blatantly, here's how it is. He's generally the most calm person when talking to the media, not willing to give away everything, not willing to give away anything. He's reserved, won't come out and say things like that. He would do it behind closed doors. He told you straight up, if this team wants to go into a rebuild, I'm going somewhere else. Like, that's not how I want to play out my career here. I'm not going to be 31-year-old Myles Garrett having played for a team who won 10 games in the last two or three years. And that's, unfortunately, the situation you find yourself. And if we're being honest, a lot of this probably ties into the idea of the entire situation behind Deshaun Watson. Reports behind closed doors are essentially those two didn't get along. We've all known that, right? Like, we have heard that and thought that there have been a feud between the two. And it's basically laying on the table. If you're going to bring back Deshaun and give him a legitimate chance to compete next year, I don't think that's a Browns team that I want to roll with. If you're not going to come out and get me somebody far better than that, a more superior quarterback to step into that role, then I don't want to be in Cleveland anymore. Bring me to the playoffs or bring me to a new city. That is what Myles Garrett has laid out for you. I mean, he could not have been any more clear. In the unfortunate part that you're stuck with, Deshaun Watson is here next season. Right? Like, if that's playing into this at any point, Deshaun is here next season. Myles Garrett is able to be moved. Anybody in the NFL, every team would come calling as soon as you said Myles Garrett is up for trade talks. I guarantee you, you'd have 31 calls coming to your phone at the exact same time. Everybody would want to know what it would take to get him. And if that's going to be the case, and if you go into this thing thinking, hey, we can flip it around even with just 1 year, but you have to stick with next year, I don't know that that's enough for Myles either. I don't know if he's sitting here sticking through what would be a terrible year next year, age 29 for the guy. I don't think that's what he wants to go through. And if that's the case, with everything you have, it seems more and more likely that the idea that you're going to have to rebuild and tear this thing down is right there in front of you. It's becoming the more correct answer, the more obvious answer that you have to go with if you're the Cleveland Browns. And at the end of the day, as much as it might pain a lot of you to think about it, tearing it down to the studs pretty much starts with Myles Garrett not being in Cleveland. I don't want it to happen. I'd love the Browns to be able to flip it around here, but you are asking for a miracle in Cleveland. I mean, you have to hit on every pick in the draft. You have to have everything figured out. You have to figure out the quarterback situation and plug all your holes and make yourself competitive and push yourself to the playoffs next year. And I've told you guys time and time again, I just don't see how that's going to happen. I do not find a way that you make it into the playoffs if you're the Browns next year. I want to live with it. I want to play with that idea. I can't. 216-474-0092. Just lay it out on the table. Should the Browns be considering trading Myles Garrett at the end of the season? You'd also get to be on X at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C Jake. A lot coming up today. At 8:20, we're going to talk to Dylan Feltovich of Ohio State Buckeyes on SI with the Buckeyes game coming up against Tennessee tomorrow. We'll do Get a Grip, as we always do, at 9 o'clock. Change Your Mind later on in that hour. And Matt Verderam of SI Now, NFL writer for them, going to join us coming up at 10 to break down this entire situation and how it impacts the NFL and everything going around. But right now, should the Browns consider trading Myles Garrett? 216-474-0092. It's Jake Volnick right here on The Fan. Okay, I think we all probably could have come to terms with the idea that Myles didn't want to go through a rebuild. I don't know many defensive players who at the top of their game grinding it out and having the defense playing at a, I mean, relatively high level. They played really well last week. And he's like, yeah, I mean, stick me in Cleveland. I want to be here. Let's see if this team winning three games for the next 2 years puts us back on track. Like, no, he does not want to go through a rebuild and probably never will. I asked you guys before the break, and if you want to get in, 216-474-0092, if you would consider trading Myles Garrett this offseason. And I don't want to be the one to have to jump on it, but like, it's time for the uncomfortable conversation. You have to start asking the question. With what you're going to be doing moving forward, what your plans are as the Cleveland Browns, it's now completely in their court to make a decision. If Myles is going to come out and say that, and I don't want to misconstrue what Myles says, right? Like, he says he wants to be in Cleveland, but, you know, it comes down to the rebuild at the end of the day. It matters on what you're going to do and what you're going to put out coming forward. Moving off of Myles is a legitimate conversation that needs to happen now. And nobody wants to consider it, but here we are. And the reality is the Browns cannot compete next year with anything short of a miracle. Right? Like, you have to go out and you have to nail a quarterback. And, like, that might seem easy. It's like, hey, one move, you hit on the guy, you get there. Yeah, welcome to what all other 32 NFL teams are trying to do on a consistent basis. Like, not all at the same time. You're not going to be competing with the Bengals and the Chiefs and the Bills. Yes, no. But there are going to be a lot of teams out there going for quarterbacks right now. And the reality is the Browns are in one of the worst situations in order to get one. Money becomes a factor. Being able to actually get a quarterback that is of the caliber to get here becomes a factor. The NFL draft class and the quarterbacks that you have in it are right there. That is a clear factor. You can't just go out and draft a guy who's going to get here immediately. We've been talking about that. We know that. We know what's in this quarterback class. It's not a pretty situation. And if the reality is, if you want to try to keep Miles around, he's more than likely gone either way. Because if you don't hit on that miracle and get this team competing, right? I mean, flipped within, what, a year? I mean, I'd be surprised if he gives you the entirety of next season if it looks anything like this year does. He just told you that's not what he wants to play for. That's not what he wants his career to be. He doesn't want to take down the Joe Thomas route of wasting a Hall of Fame career sitting on bad football teams. So it comes down to the idea that if you go into next year and struggle again, there's a real possibility that Miles wants out before the year's even over. Because he told you 2 years, doesn't want to sit through a rebuild in 2 years. They need an immediate plan to compete. And I don't see where that comes from for the Browns. 216-474-0092. You guys want to get in on it? Let's go to Jerry in Euclid. Jerry, what do you got?
That's Terry with a T.
Oh, what's going on, Terry? My bad.
Okay. First of all, why are we worried about Deshaun Watson? He's not coming back at the minimum to the ninth game of the season.
Achilles injury. Coming in week seven, yeah. Nine-month recovery table. He'd be ready, in theory, by like August. August,
he's
early
not really
September.
Be ready.
I mean, that's
not
like.
Really be ready, though.
Ready back on the football field. He'd be in the conversation towards the beginning of the year, if not week one.
If I remember, Delpit popped his, and it took him the whole year to recover. And when he came back, he still wasn't ready yet. That's the point I'm trying to make. He's not going to be ready for a competition like that until minimum week eight or nine. So I'm not even worried about that part. We do have to get another quarterback, though. Justin Fields seems to be the one that I would look at for this year.
I mean, Justin Fields, like, maybe he shows you something. He wasn't good enough to start in Pittsburgh. What makes you think he compete with a Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, who, all intents and purposes, those rosters are at least on par, and I would be willing to say pretty confidently better than where the Browns are at right now.
Yeah, but also, Stefanski seems to bring the best out of these quarterbacks that needs to be the best brought out of. I mean, he did it with Cousins. He did it with all the quarterbacks we had over the last 2 years. So why couldn't he do it with Fields? And he's got all the tools to work with. He's got an arm. He's got legs. He just got to show him how to read defense. So why not?
And, Terry, I'd love to bring him. Happy holidays to you, and I hope I would like to think you're right. I just don't think Justin Fields is going to be a big enough answer. Like, in the AFC, that just doesn't cut it. And I like Justin Fields a lot. I was an advocate for getting Justin Fields to Cleveland this offseason. Especially with the offense you were talking about running and getting Deshaun into the mix and sort of changing things up for him, yes. But like Deshaun is 100% in on this conversation. And if, I mean, that doesn't have anything to do with it in your mind, I don't know. I don't know how you're not thinking about it. Like Deshaun, as much as I don't want him to be part of this whole conversation and don't want it to go back to that, yes, the conversation turns back to Deshaun because we've heard that there's going to be a quarterback competition, and from what all we know, Deshaun will be involved. He will be a part of what goes into that. And the Browns situation, everything that goes into it, a large portion of why the Browns are looking at the idea of having to rebuild is the contract on the books for Deshaun and him not playing out to the contract he was paid in anywhere close, not being able to be an NFL caliber starting quarterback. That's what it boils down to. I mean, the offense functioned a year before, with the quarterback in the spot, everybody 2 years younger, right? It looked like it was going to work, Miles wasn't going to be saying that he didn't want to be in Cleveland because there was no question whether or not you were a competitor. And you were contending for the very top of the NFL, right? Like, without Joe Burrow, you were thinking, or excuse me, without Joe Flacco, you were sitting there thinking, this team could be at a top spot if they had somebody who wasn't a 39-year-old quarterback who was a flash in the pan, right? Like, they could be at the top if they just had the quarterback.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
They showed you this year they don't have it. And guys are getting older. Deshaun is 100% a part of this conversation, if not the leading force behind it. And again, I don't want that to be what the conversation turns into, but if you're just ignoring the fact that he's in there, I mean, you're completely just ignoring the entire problem happening with the Browns right now. Let's go back out to the phone. Eddie is in Westlake. Eddie, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good. Hey, you know, I'm a little bit more optimistic than you. When I look at this situation and I look at the landscape of the NFL, I mean, I see like 6-7 different reclamation projects, which is like, that means it's like more than 20% of the league. I mean, when I look at these guys that are taking their teams to the playoffs or near playoff every year, I mean, you got Geno Smith, you got Darnold this year, I mean, they hit on all their draft picks, so I'm not going to count them totally, but Jared Goff is a reclamation project that Sean McVay gave up on.
Yeah, a little different in my eyes. I mean, he was still competing for a Super Bowl,
But but nonetheless, the other two that I mentioned to you, and even like, you got your Bo Nix, so you say, hey, it's hard to do, I need you to do it. Because you got a guy that's a first ballot Hall of Famer that's basically telling you, basically what he's telling you, a couple different things. He's telling you, don't take a quarterback with the first pick. You better get that rush in on a book in on the opposite side from Penn State. You better get guys that can help us get back to a dominant defense so that when we put that quarterback in, that quarterback, we don't ask him to win games. We just ask him to be a game manager like a lot of these quarterbacks in the league. I mean, there's 20-30% of them that are just game managers. You know, Sam Darnold didn't go in a situation where they hit on every draft pick. That was the same team they had. They switched running backs. They lost defensive end. That team has two or three losses. If you look at Russell Wilson, okay, with Pittsburgh, he took them. Now Pittsburgh got three losses. I mean, and even before he got there. You mentioned Fields. Fields was like 5-2, but just got benched. I mean, I don't know. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, it doesn't take a lot. This team is not that far away. It's not going to take a lot. It really is not. And we don't have the luxury. I'm not tearing down trading Miles Garrett for, two number one picks or three number one. I'm not doing it on guys that we don't know what's going to happen with those picks. I know what Miles Garrett is going to do. Each and every game, he could change the course of the game by himself. Single-handedly. I'm not trading a guy for that for draft picks. I'm just not going to do it. Sorry, not going to do it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to just try to get this defense as dominant as I can. I'm gonna get me another offensive lineman, and I'm just going to work that way and strengthen my team so that whoever it is at quarterback, whether it be Jameis Winston, what I'm realizing about him is he's going to be only most effective if you're playing with a lead. If you asking this guy to like do stuff, he gonna throw the pick. He gonna throw picks. That's his MO. But if you're playing with a lead and you got a run game and you're not asking him to do too much, then, you can win with him. So I, at the end of the day, I need the rest of the team to, like you said, as we're getting a little bit older, I need you to fill in those gaps with these draft picks. This is the first year we had a first-round pick. I need them to fill in those gaps with those picks and hit on those picks. And then, at that point, I think we'll be okay.
And, Eddie, appreciate the call. I just don't think those guys are enough. Like, when you look at these teams in the way that they're in, right? Like, Minnesota, and I'm not saying Miles would be disappointed with being where Minnesota is right now, right? It might change it. Those teams still aren't, like, Super Bowl contenders in the spot that they're in. I don't know that anybody's sitting there looking at the Pittsburgh Steelers or the Minnesota Vikings, the Seattle Seahawks, you threw out Geno Smith, and thinking any of those teams are going to go on to win a Super Bowl with these reclamation projects. And you might say, hey, you don't need that. You just need 1 year. You want a bridge. You want a stopgap. Where do you go after that? What is your next plan? Like, you can point to a bunch of guys that were drafted later in the draft and hit, and it all turned out okay. I can point to a lot of guys that got drafted later within the first round, second round, who also didn't pan out. You're just taking a complete gamble. And I don't understand how we think that the Browns are essentially going to go to the draft with Andrew Berry, who, by the way, I don't know how many of you trusted him to make solid draft picks at this point, because as many picks as he had, he's hit on like one. He's really swung and hit for the fences on one, and that's JOK. And who knows where he's going to be after this season with injury and everything else. But that's where you're at. He's hit on one guy to the moon, and that's it. In fact, Ken and Anthony were talking earlier on this morning about what path the Browns should go down. This, of course, coming before the Miles news. But, like, I get the pull between it. I just tend to side with Lima.
Is that the goal? To get Kirk Cousins so we can feel good about beating Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Then I guess it's a different standard,
obviously. That's where we're at. What do you mean, what's the standard?
Which stinks.
You can't have a standard when you're 3-11.
Right.
What is our standard?
Right.
What is our standard?
That's what I'm saying.
Your plan has led us to
this. So what is your plan?
Where we're cussing each other out.
What is your plan right now?
Before Christmas. I've given you my plan.
Which is?
Stay the course with what you have with these players.
Fans are loving that plan right now, Kenny. As evidenced by the Chiefs having a full takeover of our damn stadium on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Boy, they love that plan.
Like, it's exactly that. The plan to go out and essentially just try to piece things together, guys, it works for a lot of these teams. And Ken pointed to a lot of teams that it has worked for, and they've been able to figure it out. Like, I mean, for example, the Pittsburgh Steelers, they just go through, never fully rebuild, and stay there. The difference is those teams got there and fully got there. The rest of their team, they filled in the spots throughout the draft. They've continued to keep up that success. The Browns have fallen off the cliff. Hey, the Browns are more than a quarterback away. That's what it is. It's not just get a quarterback in here. Your offensive line is spotty. Your defensive line has been stripped down to Myles Garrett and a couple of other guys that you have a little bit of trust in and not much else. It's just where you stand. The rebuild is more likely than not, and if that's what you're going to go to, Myles Garrett's not going to be here. I still want to know whether or not you guys are looking and considering trading Myles Garrett in the offseason. 216-474-0092. We'll get more of your calls in on the other side. It's Jake Volnick right here on The Fan. And going to get to more of your calls, but want to remind you to start your game day with the Fan Bud Light Tailgate Show live from Tap Sports Bar at MGM Northfield Park with Jonathan Peterlin this Sunday, December 22nd, starting at 10 a.m. through kickoff at 1 p.m. Make the Fan Bud Light Tailgate Show part of your game day routine on the radio home of the Cleveland Browns. 92.3 The Fan, presented by Valley Automotive Group, the Buckeye Law Group, and Sal's Heating and Cooling, Plumbing and Sewer. Get details at 92.3thefan.com. It's a wake-up call at this point, okay? Like, if we're talking about the Browns essentially being able to flip everything over just by next year with some of the quarterbacks out there, I mean, guys, like, I just don't know how else to paint it. The Browns, in like 99% of the scenarios, right? Do I have to lay out the Doctor Strange? Well, it was Endgame or Infinity. I don't remember which one the quote was in. But like the scenarios where we win, he laid out like 19 million possibilities and you come out winners in one. Okay, like that's where you're at. That is the possibility of the Browns being like good next season. Playoff and beyond good. To the point where Myles Garrett would be like, hey, this thing's back on track. I'm ready to stay here. That's essentially where you have to go. The plan that he wants is to win immediately. His very own words. If they don't have a plan to win immediately, and then we go away from his exact words, but essentially I want to go somewhere else. Like, he basically laid it out for you. So the wake-up call is, if you think the Browns are flipping this thing around next year, I mean, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, because I want him to be able to do it, but it's just not going to happen. Better in 2 years, maybe. Maybe with the right situation, I could see it happening. I just don't know and see a scenario where you go out and win like 11 games next year and make the playoffs. Do not see it happening. You have to nail the quarterback. A lot of other things probably have to go right for you too. But told you guys, want to get your phone calls in here. 216-474-0092. Mario's in Cleveland. Mario, what do you got?
I think, man, listen, if we want to get this thing right next year, nobody's going to want to hit us, but you're going to have to flip that pick, that draft pick. I think we need to trade that draft pick. We need an edge rusher, man, to put an elite edge rusher on the side of Miles and probably an elite defensive tackle. That defense can be elite again. As far as the quarterback, I think we all a little overboard on the quarterback. I think if we can get that defense back elite and get a decent quarterback with a, you know, not turnover prone, and I think you can get it back on right, but you got to get that defense back elite. That's not great. No quarterback coming in here is going to save us next year. Not Shador, Cam Ward, John Blaze, nobody. It's not going to fix that. So we got to get that defense back elite, and it's going to start with putting somebody on side of him so he can continue to get double, because Za'Darius wasn't what he was supposed to be. Jadavian wasn't what he was supposed to be. And we keep talking about Mike Hall or whatever. No, we need to go get two veterans, put them on that line, get that defense back elite so Schwartz can do what he do. And I think we run it back and maybe bring in a veteran quarterback. We maybe can be back playoff, at least playoff contenders.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
That's just what I think.
All right, Mario, appreciate the call. I think we're grasping at straws here. Like, we're trying to hold on to everything that is going on with the Browns. Like, guys, a lot of the games this year, even if the defense was elite, and I get we're playing with the Deshaun Watson theory in a lot of this, but, like, I can run you down the scores, but I know you already know them. It took you forever to score 20 points until after Deshaun was gone. And even after that, like, you didn't put up very much against the Chargers, the Saints, with what many people would consider a competent quarterback, at least in trying to put points on the board, right? Jameis turned the ball over a lot, but if there's one thing he could do, he could throw for touchdowns, he could throw for yards. You were still walking out a lot of these games without putting real points on the board. In most of these games, even where Jameis was playing, he still failed to put up 20. I mean, it was the Denver game, and it was the Baltimore game. Those are the games that you went away with, and it was, like, great. And I get the Pittsburgh game as well. You put up 24. Ugly game there, though. There's a lot of problems with this team. I don't think it boils down to one thing, which is why I bring it up, because it's not just figuring out the quarterback spot. Obviously, a huge part of it in getting this team right on track. I don't know how much a bridge quarterback can do, even if you have an elite defense. Like, the Browns' defense has not looked to be what it was last year. Martin Emerson does not look as good. Greg Newsom probably won't be here. Like, there's a lot of things to be shored up. The run game, probably another wide receiver. It's a lot to figure out. It's just, Miles is essentially calling on the Browns to do something drastic. I don't think that a guy like Kirk Cousins or any of the other reclamation quarterbacks that we called about are going to be enough for Miles to have full belief this team's going to compete. And honestly, like I said, you guys, you probably get like half a year. Up until the trade deadline is probably when about you get, because I could very easily see if this thing doesn't go exactly the way that they want it to, and this team is not showing either that they're winning football games or with elite capability to win football games and a real chance to bring it up in the back half, it's very realistic Miles could be asking for a trade. The guy wants to be remembered for something more than being an elite defensive player on a bad football team. Wants to go out and win something. If the Browns can't present him with that, sounds like he wants to go somewhere else and do it. What you basically needed was Myles Garrett to pull a Nick Chubb and just be like, hey, I want to be in Cleveland. It's where I want to be. All things, I just let me come back. But he's not going to do that. He doesn't go out and do that. He laid out the timeline. 2, 3, 4 years, doesn't matter. If it's a rebuild, it's not going to be for me. It needs to be next year, and more than likely it's not going to be. Let's go back out to the phone. Joe's in North Olmsted. Joe.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. How about yourself?
I agree 100% with you. We are so many pieces away from a playoff football team than just drafting a quarterback, and the amount of expiring contracts for this year and next year, I mean, I don't have the exact number, but it's pretty drastic. And between the offensive line, the defense playing less than what they were last year, we probably have the worst receiving core in the AFC North. I mean, it's just, there's so many pieces that drafting a quarterback is not going to change. It's going to be the same old story and dance. And I mean, you can't blame Miles at all. Like, he's had a hell of a career here in Cleveland. But at the end of the day, it's like, what does he have to show for it? He's got, you know, one playoff win, and it's just like, at the end of the day, it's like, you know, you got to face the facts. And the facts are, whether it's the front office, coaching, the just the personnel in general, like, it's not getting it done, and you need a rehaul. It's like trying to spit in the ocean and raise the water level. Yes, technically you did. If you do draft a quarterback, we did get better. But there's so many things at play that it won't even have an effect on it. And I think as soon as people come to that realization, they'll come around and be like, all right, we got to retool our entire team in order to be successful, because right now it's not working.
Yeah, and Joe, appreciate you. Happy holidays. I mean, we're on the exact same page. Like, you're just not going to turn this thing around through one draft. It's not going to happen. Like, you're asking them to plug holes in a lot of different spots. You hear people going for the defensive line. Well, guess what? Next year, good chance you might also need somebody in the secondary to go help you out. Whether at safety, corner, both, you're probably going to need linebacker help. You need running back help. You need offensive line help. A lot of people point to the wide receivers, say they're not good enough. You obviously need a quarterback. There's a lot here. On an aging roster, I don't know how many times I have to go back to it, you're not a young roster. You went into this year thinking it could work. I was right there with you. I said, if Deshaun plays well, and it doesn't have to be top of the NFL, but if he looks pretty good, you can figure this whole thing out. I think the more and more you get removed away from this team being in a playoff game against the Houston Texans, the bleaker your opportunity to do that looks. I mean, hands down. Abner's in Brook Park. What's going on, Abner? You there? All right, maybe we'll come back to Abner. Instead, we'll go out to Dave in Grafton. Dave, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing well. Happy holidays. What do you got for me?
Happy holidays to you. Well, I agree with what you're saying. You know, it's pretty – I agree with Myles Garrett. We owe it to him to at least give him a chance to be go to a contender, but we have so many holes to fill. We let go of our offensive coordinator last year, which never called an offensive play. Stefanski did, so we let him go, and look what we got and see how that went. Our defense took down. So my theory is that we have some players that we may be able to get some draft picks or some other players. I think it's time for going to rebuild, get something from them, still lose them, and get some different type of coaches as far as line coaches, offensive coaches. We need it all. I mean, there's so many holes, like you said, that needs to be plugged, and it's not going to be turned around in a year. And I only see it in 2 years, so. But that's just my thought.
Yeah, and Dave, appreciate it. I mean, it's the bleak reality. Like, I consider myself to look at things pretty, like, in a realistic view, and I love to be sitting here grasping at the last chance of hope that the Browns could flip this thing around, but I look at it the same way I'd be looking at any other team. I sit here and root for the Browns on Sundays just like you guys do, but when I sit here and I prep out the show and I look at everything that goes into it, I look at it like I would look at any other team, and I just don't see how you turn it around in a year or two. There's too much to fix. Let's keep the phones going. If you want to get in, 216-474-0092. Vaughn is in Cleveland. Vaughn, how you doing?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well. What do you got for me?
I just want to know, why are we so worried about the quarterback, man? I feel like, man, we didn't worry about that defense. Hey, man, you draft somebody that's next to Myles Garrett, get another linebacker, you trade Greg Newsome, get a corner, and then you just build off the defense. I mean, we have a coach that's doing a very good job. He can manage the game, as you can see. You put any quarterback behind that center, and he can do very good. Well, he can do good.
So I mean, yeah, we'll see that this Sunday. We'll see what happens with DTR. But, yes, for the most part, I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, DTR is young. He's very young. Yes. Do I think he needs to be starting right now? No. But, hey, you got to put somebody behind there. Jameson did what? He did a lot. Two for almost 500 yards.
That's yeah, good. I mean, walked away with a record of, I mean, not very good. 2-4, I think, was his final after the six games he played. Like, yeah, that's the thing, though. Like, that's why I pull back. Like, yes, you need to address the defense. I think there's a lot of places on this team, especially defensively, that you need to shore up. But, like, the quarterback, it's an issue. There's no way aside from an issue, and Vaughn, we're up against it, but I appreciate the call. But, like, we're worried about quarterback because you have none. In the most important position in all of sports, you have zero answer and zero way to get a true answer. That's why you have to worry about quarterback. And I'm not yelling at Vaughn. I'm yelling at the idea that it's just it's frustrating. It drives me crazy. You just don't have the answers. And we all want to sit here and act like we can just keep going and do what the Steelers do what the Bills do. You can't. You can't be the Kansas City Chiefs until you get to be on the level of the Kansas City Chiefs. At some point, if you're not keeping up the productivity, you have to tear it down and you have to rebuild it back up. That's what it is. We'll keep going. 216-474-0092. I want to bring in the idea of Stefanski and Barry here, too, because I think this changes a lot for them. Dylan Feltovich, Buckeyes on SI, going to join us at 820 as well. It's Jake Volnick right here on Overtime on 92.3 The Fan.
The results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par with me, Maury Povich, wherever you get your podcasts.